Good evening.
Good evening.
Good to see you this evening. Appreciate you being here. I don't know if you can see it from where you're sitting, but when I get up to, right before I get up, I usually take a drink of my water to wet my mouth, and I managed to miss my mouth, and it landed right along in here. And so if you're looking at that and saying, what did it get all over? It's just water. In fact, if I could step outside for about a half a second, it would probably dry that immediately, and I wouldn't have to worry about it. As was mentioned, don't forget about our Vacation Bible School that starts tomorrow night, 6:30 to 8. If you're helping with registration, I'd say be here at about 6, because people get here early. And so looking forward to that. It's always a great time together, and I hope you're making plans to be here for that. The gospel meeting was mentioned. I talked to Brother DeBerry yesterday for a little while, just touching base with him. I usually call our speakers that we have scheduled at the beginning of the year just to make sure that they still, because, you know, miscommunications happen, make sure that they've got us down, and then I usually call again around 3 weeks out just to make sure everything's still good to go and there are no issues. And so he's looking forward to being here, wanted me to give his regards to the congregation. And so I hope you're making plans to attend for that. Some have asked about the flyers and pass-outs for that. They might be here by Wednesday, but if I had to place a guess, it'll probably be Sunday before they get here. And so I'll get those out. If they get here before Wednesday, then I'll get them out for Wednesday night. But more than likely, if I had to take a bet, I would say that it's probably going to be Sunday before I get them in my hands and can get those out to you. Many of you have asked about mom and dad. Mom came through the heart cath great, as was mentioned. They're just going to change her medicine up her heparin a little bit. And because when they did that in the hospital, it alleviated the pressure and the pain that she was feeling. And so she's doing good. She's at home. I'd waited till tonight to mention dad because we had not told the kids what was going on with dad yet. With Reagan having a voice show this weekend, Micah and I made the decision just to hold off letting them know what was going on because she already had all of that going on and didn't want to add to that. We got the report from dad doing the 10 rounds of radiation, and there was really no measurable change from that. Didn't really have any kind of effect. Dad said he felt a little bit better after that, but we're also wondering if that was because he was so far removed from the chemo treatment that he received, if that didn't help him to feel better. And so since the radiation did not help, they've made the decision to, on July 6th, start a round of chemo. In between now and July 6th, I think they're going to try to get the feeding tube put in. He has started to eat a little bit better, but he's still not getting the calories that he needs for what he's fighting. And so so they'll start chemo on the 6th, and then they haven't said how many rounds of chemo we're doing. I don't know how many. They'll space them 3 weeks apart, and then at some point they'll do another scan, and we'll see if that's being effective. And that's what our hope and prayer is. But I appreciate you asking about him. I appreciate you praying about him. It means a lot to me. This morning we started the study looking at Jesus' description of us as salt. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." We said from this passage we wanted to notice 3 points together. And we set out noticing our first point, and that was a description to appreciate. As Jesus talks about us being the salt of the earth, we said that there were 10 descriptions of salt that we wanted to notice that also apply to the Christian. We noticed 6 of those together. We noticed that salt is an absolute necessity, that it works at the expense of itself, that it must come in contact with the substance to be influenced, that it preserves and prevents, that it purifies, and that it can also be destructive. Now that brings us to our 7th one, which is where we pick up tonight. Salt creates thirst. Salt creates thirst. You know, just as if you eat a food that's got a lot of salt to it, normally you want some water handy, or here in the South, some sweet tea, in order to help with that, because it creates thirst. And many people become Christians because they were inspired, because they were influenced by someone else. That thirst for Christianity can be created by our influence. Someone who is deeply spiritual, they can create a desire in someone else to want to be like Christ, to want to be like them. As I've mentioned many times, Audie Betts is the one who inspired me to start preaching. Well, forced me and then inspired me to start preaching. There are other people that throughout my life who have been a source of inspiration to me, who have created in me that desire to live a faithful Christian life. Now, unfortunately, we can do just the opposite if we're not careful. Let us never live our lives in such a way that someone would say, if that's the example of a Christian, I want nothing to do with it. Friends, I don't know about you, but to think that something that I did, that some way that I lived my life could cause someone to say that, that's a scary thought to me. And so let's live our lives so that we create a thirst in others to know more about Jesus, to know more about His church, to know more about what it means to truly be a child of God. Number 8, salt gives flavor. Salt gives flavor. In Job chapter 6 and verse 6, we read, "Can flavorless food be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg?" Christians can sweeten and lighten the burdens and disappointments of others. For those who are fellow Christians and those who are also outside the body of Christ. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." We're supposed to be there for one another. We're supposed to help each other out. You know, there are some burdens that we face in life that quite frankly are too heavy for us to carry alone. Now, of course, we always have God who's there and we can cast those cares upon Him, 1 Peter 5:7. But we also have brothers and sisters in Christ who can come beside us, can help to lighten that load. In Galatians 6:10, Paul writes, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, but especially to those who are of the household of faith." He would tell the church at Rome to rejoice with those who rejoice, and to weep with those who weep, Romans 12:15. A Christian should make one's journey through this life just a little bit easier. I know that I'm thankful to have Christian family that can help me in times of need, and those who I can strive to help in times of need as well. So salt creates thirst, it gives flavor. Number 9, salt is penetrating. Salt is penetrating. When placed on food, salt penetrates and influences the whole substance. In other words, it's aggressive. The early church influenced the whole world because of its aggressive nature. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, as Paul comes in to this area here of Thessalonica, do you remember what the people said? The Jew says, "The ones who have turned the world upside down have come here also." They had developed a reputation for being individuals who were influencing others. Now, you and I know that they weren't turning the world upside down. The world was upside down. They were trying to turn it right side up. But they had that influence. You read about the church in Thessalonica and 1 Thessalonians, especially in chapter 1, and Paul talks about how from then had sounded forth the word of God. That from them it had gone throughout the whole world. I'm afraid sometimes we haven't even influenced our own communities, much less the whole world as the early church did. Are we aggressively seeking the lost? Or are we looking for those individuals who we can talk to about Christ and His church? Brethren, they're all around us. They live beside us. Now, for some of y'all in the country, that's a little bit further than for those of us in town. They work across from us. We see them in the lines at Walmart. You see everybody at Walmart. There are people there who will listen to what God has to say But we have to reach out and talk to them. They're not going to come up to us and say, hey, tell me about Jesus. But there are those who, if we'll go to them and say, I want to tell you about my Savior, they'll stop and listen. Salt is penetrating, and we need to be reaching out and aggressive in reaching out to those who are lost. Tenth and finally, salt's presence makes a difference. Salt's presence makes a difference. The presence or the absence of salt spells the difference between tasteless and tasteful sometimes, between corruption and purity. You know, the presence of Jesus always made a difference, didn't it? He could not and would not be ignored. When Jesus came into an area, His presence made a difference in that area. And so it raises the question in my mind, does our presence make a difference? Does your presence do? Does my presence make a difference? Does it make a difference in the congregation here? Does it make a difference in our homes? Does it make a difference at our jobs, at our schools? Does our presence or our absence make a difference in the Bible study? When the contribution is passed? And the activities that the church takes part in? Most importantly, in the life of a lost soul. Friends, our presence should make a difference. If we're going to be faithful to God, it must make a difference. You are the salt of the earth. That's a description to appreciate. But secondly, in this passage, we see a danger to avoid. A danger to avoid. But if the salt loses its flavor, if we Christians are the salt in this verse, and we are, and if the salt can lose its saltiness, and it can, then we too can lose our ability to influence others by becoming lost ourselves. Brethren, a branch may become fruitless, John 15. A sheep may go astray. A son may depart. And salt may lose its flavor. A Christian can turn away from God and become lost. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, Paul warns that you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law. He's speaking to Christians. He's writing to Christians in this area of Galatia. And he says to them, hey, you're now estranged from Christ. Well, what had they done? They were trying to go back to parts of that old law. And he says, you who are seeking to be justified by that old law, you become estranged from Christ. Now watch it. You have fallen from grace. I don't know how Paul could make it any clearer. Brethren, as Christians, we can become unfaithful. The doctrine of once saved, always saved, while it sounds great, while I wish I could tell you it was true because it would be a great comfort. Friends, it's not biblical. It's not there. Passage after passage teaches that we can become lost if we are unfaithful to God. How can we lose our saltiness? Let me give you quickly three ways. First off, if we look at the preceding verses in Matthew chapter 5, remember this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus had just finished that section that we refer to as the Beatitudes. By keeping this verse in its context, we see those who are the salt of the earth are those who possess those qualities of the Beatitudes. He's just gone through this list of this is what a follower of Christ looks like. And when a follower of Christ looks like this, guess what? You're the salt of the earth and you're the light of the world. And so when we cease to exhibit those characteristics found in the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, we cease to have that salt-like influence. Secondly, we cease being salt when we cease to exhibit the qualities of salt that we've just noticed in our previous point. Those 10 characteristics, when we cease possessing those characteristics, then we lose our flavor. And then thirdly, we cease being salt when we allow sin to corrupt our influence with those who are around us. Friends, it's a danger to avoid. As the Christian salt, we don't want to lose that saltiness. Third and finally, there is a destiny to a poor. A destiny to a poor. It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Friends, there is no sadder language in all the Bible when the Bible depicts someone being lost. In the parable of the 10 virgins, you remember as the bridegroom came, the 5 virgins who were wise, who were prepared, they went in to the wedding feast. The 5 foolish arrived after this had already happened, and they go to the door, and what does the Bible say? And the door was shut. That's sad language. Here were these 5 on the outside who would not be allowed to enter. In the parable of the talents, that one talent man, remember what the master said? Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And here we see with salt, cast out and trampled underfoot by men. Brethren, it's a destiny that we should avoid at all costs. You and I do not want to find ourselves on judgment day, not having lived our life for God, not having been faithful to Jesus. Friends, there are a lot of things that I can miss out on life and it'll be okay. But if I miss out on heaven, listen to me, I've missed everything. This is a destiny that we do not want to have. Now here's the great news. It's a destiny we don't have to have. Because Christ gave His life. He shed His blood. He provided a way for you and I to avoid hell, to experience heaven. But we have to do our part. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Let me ask you, friend, are you salt tonight? Are you a faithful child of God? If you're not a Christian, we'd encourage you to take that step, to put Christ on in baptism. Maybe you have questions about that. Let us know. Let's sit down. Let's open God's book. Let's see what God has to say. Maybe you've done that, but you realize tonight, you know what? I'm not living as I should. I'm in danger of, just as that verse says, being cast out. Friends, you don't have to be. God loves you. He sent His Son. His Son loves you. He gave His life. Come back home to them. Come back home to us. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.